It was October the 30th,
1954.
Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon again. It's all right, EJ. I'm going to make you stay awake through the tape this afternoon. We've tried twice and he slept both times.
Riveting.
I appreciate what Nora has been through, and Nora will document it very well. There's always a place for doctors. There's a place for lawyers. You have to understand that there is a place for all the great gifts. And if you have a problem, it needs to be tended. The question would always be, well, if she had not had the surgery, would it have gone away? The answer is yes, it would have. But she needed the experience, and the family needed it. One thinks, well, but why would Nora have to go through this fear? If Nora had not gone through the surgery, she would have remained in the fear. She can forget it now. And by attending her problems, she will move right on. And sometimes it's too bad, it's really, really too bad that you wait until someone is hurt or has a problem to be attentive enough. And yet, how atrocious it is when one's used their health as a method of getting attention. You've witnessed that over and over again with John tending Eleanor. And yet, you see, when the demand is false and the person is false, it ends up in disaster either way. So it's a time of learning. That's the point that we want to make. It's a time of living and experiencing, and it's a time of learning for all ones around you. Charles has had to be patient with his family, and finally they begin to listen. It isn't that they begin to listen as much as things happen that causes them to hear. And until they're ready to ask the questions, they're not going to hear the answers. So we go through a little show and tell here on Friday. Why would we bother to do that? Because we had two stone cold new people, and they are the most important people, both to me, for other reasons that aren't your problem yet. We had to take in an afternoon and show a professor of religious studies that there is the possibility, the probability, and the actuality in proof of unseen forces. And when you have someone who wants you to prove to them something, and you want to prove energy, the best one that you can use, just like that, and is usually available, and you don't have to get the dishes that we had here. They simply had enough of a force field to be impressive. You can take two magnets off your refrigerator and accomplish the same thing, because either force can be overridden. And even electromagnetic forces that will pick up automobiles or ships or whatever you're going to handle, the minute you turn off the electricity, you're going to drop whatever is being held. So you've got a situation where you began to need some visible, tangible, something you can touch. And if you literally could run your hand, you know, anyone holding these two things like that, pressing right up against that plasmic or that magnetic shield barrier, you would be able to feel that with your hand. Of course, if you cut the entire field off, you will have interrupted it. But it won't hurt you, will it? So energy is a very valid, tangible thing. And because you can't see something does not mean that it is not there. And because you can't see something does not mean you can't function either. Most of you will notice that Dorma almost did that entire presentation with her eyes shut as tight as she could get them. Because if you can't, if she can't see you, then somehow you can't see her. And you don't have to worry about being nervous. Well, I've already put up that shield. So that she was going through a blank period of time. And if there's anybody who wants to ask me about anything that took place here, I would be happy to entertain that, because I wanted those gentlemen to have time overnight to ponder that. So they did not see Dorma until the next day, and our professor is totally captivated. And I want you to hear something. I've been waiting for someone to come up with what we can call selves. And he did. This is part of being educated and studying the varying and sundry groupings around. We can refer to us as a tribe, the bird tribes. That doesn't express it really, because, you know, the Masonic order will call themselves the bird tribes. You're going to find out this afternoon that you are really already so far down that primrose path that you're squashing on the rose hips. You think you're not going to take the mark of the beast? You don't know what the mark of the beast is, and it's smeared all over you and all over your churches. Everything you do, everything you touch. All of that goody two-shoes going to church on Sunday morning, you're going to be finding that you've been going to an Israeli Freemason organization. And that's going to offend you. Some of you have seen the tape. I wanted to watch it with you because there are some things I don't want you to miss. One is the fact that they even took your Jesus. Paul named him Jesus. You think Saul of Tarsus changed his mind? Not on your cotton picker. They took Jesus, named him Jesus, and they made him the 13th cornerstone, which is the capstone, the all-seeing eye, quote, of God, of the Illuminati. He is the 13th cornerstone. They call it the chief cornerstone. Very, very subtle. Does that make all the Masons bad? No. Probably makes them a little more honest than the Baptists. Because they think they're doing something. You're all serving the crown of England. British Israel. Brit, meaning covenant, ish. These are Jewish words. Brit meaning covenant, ish meaning man. The covenant of man. And the British crown is the crown of the church that they call of Christ. It's all out of Freemasonry. On your Easter seals, you'll have the double cross. That is a Freemasonry sign. You'll find it in Exxon. And you see, all of these oil companies are owned, operated, and the rewards go to the elite. These are the most high-level criminals on your place, and they've had you. And I would hope that by the time you're through seeing this, it'll be worthy of your questioning. Not to me. But it'll be worthy of your questioning of yourself if you really think you can just go out there and wheel it around and turn it around. No, you cannot. But you may be able to save your nation and some constitutional law in your nation. But it will not happen until this world is pretty well depopulated. But you have a chance of remaining the lamp, the light. And we're still going to have to get a remnant through, aren't we? And this whole whole thing has been established by the Antichrist from inception. And you might think, well, why would I find that worthy of chuckling? What do you think your world is? And I believe that you have been told that you are up against the cleverest of all gentlemen, the prince, the king of clever. And you think he wouldn't be able to knock you over. Oh, yes, he has. Doesn't mean you have to remain blind or stupid. But he is waiting for you to remain both. You think it is accidental that somebody walks over and shoots holes in the White House? Can you really believe that that is possibly legitimate? You're a long way down that path. The only difference is that you're beginning to see a little bit. And at first viewing, it makes you so mad that you want to take out your own Uzi and go shoot. Your own AK-47 and tip off 15 rounds, you know, even in the right direction. But it doesn't help, does it? It just cements their ability to have you more. No, we're just going to insist they meet our agreements, which are minimal. And then you will learn that the pen is truly mightier than the sword. But we'll get to that a little bit later. And if we don't finish it today, we'll finish the tape today, we'll take the subjects up one by one by one. We're finally getting around to something that I came for. I didn't come to attend each little individual personage running around on this place. That is not my job. There are ones who have that job. And Olisu Emmanuel is one of them. So don't make errors as to whom you pray to what for. Spiritual growth and truth is what we're about, not spiritualism. We are about unraveling the mysteries. And you can see how year by year by year, Christmas, in the true tradition of goodness, is being removed, while the Israeli signs that have always been there are closing in and in and in more and more and more. Starting to see with St. Nicholas. And then it goes on. See, your commerce, what appeals to people. And then it becomes the equality. Then you begin to remove the things out of the schools and the everywhere, out of the public, that have to do with that spiritual connection to Christ. Because, you see, they want to hold Jesus up as a man. He is no longer a man. Until he walks back among you in human form, he's not a man. He is an etheric being. He is God being. But they want to pin it down as to the cornerstone of this impossible religion that originates right out of Freemasonry and moves right on through the New Age movement. And you're going to see the symbols of that, and they're going to shock you. Dorma found that she was sitting there watching this tape and thumbing through a little catalog. Just as they get to the symbol of Malta, which is the top of a pyramid looking down. You've got the four sides, four triangles, with an empty place there for that capstone. While this is on, here is a ring that they are advertising for Christmas. You know, red and green stones. It's just a little piece of costume jewelry. And she was just thinking, well, that would be kind of nice, you know, a little Christmas ornament. It's a Malta symbol of Freemasonry. It's everywhere. Does that mean, oh, well, I mustn't wear the ring? No, if you like red and green stones and, you know, why would you not? Why would you not wear it for the right reasons instead of the secret lie? People do not know. That is what is wrong. And uh-oh is right on. Wear it for the right reason. You've all been had. Ron says, wake us up. I'm trying. But you don't want to hear these things. Well, tell me something else and wake me up. Well, this is part of the slow, drawn-out torture. I have some business I need to attend. We brought down... I'm getting to the point now where I'm really considering that some of the things you may be doing, as I observe what you're trying to do, is dangerous. We've got Gondriana now to the point where you're getting silver refraction and you're going to burn your houses down if you're not careful. And it will help to put your own into plastic containers, but it will not solve the problem. It will eventually melt the plastic and it will produce heat. EJ, I want you to hear me. I don't believe that you'll have a trouble with that refracted focus causing that to overheat. I don't want them left out in the sun more than possibly an hour, hour and a half anyway. But if you forget it, it'll be okay. You're dealing now with intelligent life. You just can't see it, but you are going to be dealing with intelligent life. And it's intelligent enough to burn your house down. Because it's not going to bother it. It's doing what it's supposed to do, and that is lining up with the sun and refracting those colored frequencies. But it will burn. And I let it burn because I wanted you to realize that. I want you to handle it carefully. I've got him doing something. I just want to remind him that it's not to worry about the overheating, because the Gondriana, just like they will cling to feed, they're smart enough to move away from the beam if it's too hot, and they can stand quite a bit of heat anyway. But you need the refracted. You need the refraction. So let's try that.
What's the cotton stuff typed in at the floating?
It's just coagulated life. Those cells are clinging.
If you put it on the earth, on the dirt of the earth, it wouldn't burn or anything. Is that correct?
It'll touch the earth. You better believe it. But there won't be anything to burn.
Yeah.
If you just, earth would be fine. I don't know how many have souped up yours. What you got from the other bottles over with Mitch was Gondriana, but it does not bear the silver and the gold. So we brought some more. And because there's been no talk about it, I thought maybe if it sat down here in front of you guys, you'd figure a way to get it out to the people. I think what you need to do is let the people know that as soon as they send a request for it, get some little 2-ounce bottles. And for the cost of the bottles and the shipping, you can't just take this on and supply everybody with an update. Wendell is in the process of integrating ours into his, and within 4 or 5 days he'll have it all done. But there is no point in taking perfectly marvelous Gondriana and wasting it. Just don't waste it. So make sure that people who want to upgrade the ones that they have can get a couple of ounces. And if they're down to 2 ounces, fine, mix it in. You've got 4 ounces and it's ready instantly. Don't worry about it. There's no big deal. You don't have to measure it. But if you have a brand new bottle, pour it out in a quart jar or a half-gallon jar, whatever will hold it, and just mix in the 2 ounces. And it will have it saturated within 12 hours. 2 ounces to a half gallon is fine. Don't worry about it. And then you've got your own start there. And from then on, it will be integrated. We have a problem handling it because everything that I add to it, and when I start adding a little deuterium to it, we're going to really have a refractory lens is what we're going to have. And it becomes dangerous, and I don't want you ones playing with it. And you don't need that much frequency in your system. I would not bring this over here to start any of you on because you would have been too sluggish and might make you feel bad. This is the same stuff, only 10 times more superior than you were getting as an injectable form. Now, I would suggest that any of you have to have a blood transfusion, you lay down and kick and scream and have a fit and demand some Giandriana for the transfusion. Now, and as we move along, we're going to move into using Giandriana almost exclusively for making tea and for making vinegar. You're going to have to move into your ingestion must become, by the time we get to the point where we need it, pretty much that you're drinking this instead of water. And when the time is right, we will tell you how to do that. But you will always need a good, healthy whack and start. And then we will grow into the products. I don't want to take away Giandriana as it is because it's so important that you start properly. And then let's see how it goes. We're going to talk about the term community. We've talked about it before. We've written about it. I've told you what you are striving to become is a community. I didn't say a village. I didn't say a township. And a community as a group of people living in one location is all right for the TV announcers who say, well, in the community of. Well, let me tell you something about Tehachapi. You go down in the middle of Tehachapi and you call it a community, you are lying. You have factions in this town that anybody trying to break through politically is going to get butchered. That is not community. Well, these gentlemen had a real problem yesterday trying to figure out what to call this non-group. You obviously get along here. They were impressed that they were delighted. And I'm appreciative. You guys did a real good job. They kind of, you know, it's trick time. Terry has to know what in the soup he's got to deal with in that courtroom. Lonnie has to know what he needs to do as an expert witness bearing testimony of truth. He is not going to get up on a stand and paint you with anything other than the truth because his whole reputation rests on his expertise. And they found no group here. Certainly no cult here. They did find several people here who wanted to be a part of, quote, the family, but you don't want to call it a family. They call that a family at Waco. You are a soul family, a heart family, and just like families, you have trouble amongst each other. But you see, you have outsiders wanting to come into your family just because they want to be part of it too, and they're not family. They're visitors, and they might very well make up part of a community. And so this is being talked up, and Lonnie has a way of getting right to the heart of something. He said, they're not a village, they're not a group, they're not a church, they are a community. in the truest sense of the word. It is like the Indians. You will have different tribes, different locations, different places. You can have Indians in Alaska, you can have Indians in Florida, and they make up a community, but they're not a commune, and neither are they from the same tribe. So you are beginning to establish an international community. And you are not looking for spiritualism, you're looking for spiritual truth. But you're not locked in that way into the orthodox indoctrination and demands and the taxation of the churches. Why do you think the Christian churches come along and they want you to make your pledge in advance? They will usually have established already, if you become a member, or before you become a member, what your job is. They will tell you, we just want to know your talents, and would you mind teaching Sunday school, and so forth. And then pretty soon you have a building fund, and well, if you will, how much do you make? Oh, well, I make $100,000 a year. Click, 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 and 10% of $100,000 a year. Now, is that before or after you've had to pay your taxes? Oh, well, we're going to calculate it before. Mm-hmm. Mormon?
Yep. Yes,
yep.
That's right.
We're not going to, you know, even the federal government lets you deduct your spiritual gifts, but not the Mormon Church. No, sorry. You don't get to deduct the tax you paid to their other part of the operation called the government. An income tax or corporate tax or whatever tax. They're going to get you on that gross amount, or you're not going to get in the inner sanctum. And that's why they will make you produce. They're smart. They're business people. Man, I want to tell you, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young started it in the United States. You're going to find they were Freemasons. But that's neither here nor there. I don't want to belabor this. I want you to please read this, or Rick or somebody, and then we'll try to cover this. I want everybody to listen very carefully to what Ron says. Now, Ron will be a little embarrassed that I'm going to use this way, but I hope he can stand it. It won't matter, Ron, whether you can or not. The name is Ron Sace, and he's got a real gift to give, and he thinks he's wasted several years now waiting on Commander to do something. I want to tell you the difference in the letter that he has written now and the letter that he wrote first. You would never know it's the same person. So all that education he's gotten and everything has been nothing but an asset. And when we get down through here where he says, I have now a degree in this and a degree in that and a degree, and I guess I'm going to be in school the rest of my ever-loving life, and I can't even get a job, so I guess I have to stay in school. Well, it sounds to me as if he's getting the right kind of education for what we need. But so many of the perceptions are incorrect. God is not going to do it for you. And if you are without, I suggest you go out there and do something to have with. Because if you have decided that you cannot do it except in a given place, or there's no place here, then go where there is. Go in and do it. Talking about it and whining about it, complaining about it, and not being worthy is the shortcoming of man insecure. So if you would read that, please, then we'll try to be brief with the answer, because that tape is pretty long, too.
Dear Commander, this is Ron Sace of Silver City, New Mexico.
We've identified everything, Ron.
I have waited for some time, after much consideration, to write this letter. Whatever I wrote before always seemed redundant, especially after reading the journals. I find it difficult to write these days for this reason. Without a true premise, understanding is next to impossible. You give us a tough challenge to take our Constitution back when most of us didn't even know we had lost it. You say we can't get it back by the gun. And how are we to fight corrupt laws? How long do you think we will survive the assassin's bullet or whatever other exotic weaponry they have? The root of this letter is to find my place with your help, of course. From the middle class on down, we feel most helpless. But if we knew what to do, don't you think we would attempt to do it?
No, I don't. You would pretend you don't know what to do. And until you have studied 112 journals and 5 years of newspapers, you're not going to have the right perception anyway. Go on, please.
However, we need you and the hosts to show us and help us to wake up, for we are indeed asleep. The Committee of 300, or Illuminati, has had over 200 years to perfect their plan enslavement system.
Try 2 billion.
I foresee the Antichrist rising up, uniting the Arab states and third world nations, taking Russia by flattery, and the Vatican becoming a great world humanitarian.
All right. I'm going to interrupt along because it's such a long letter that I'm afraid would be here until next week if I don't get some of these very shortly. He sees the Antichrist rising up. I'm not going to identify. I want you to identify. I would like Ron to identify to himself exactly who is the Antichrist rising up. And I will guarantee you that no matter if you've studied 112 journals, until you can really look at what is going on and know what is happening, you have no notion of who the Antichrist is rising up. So that's just to think about. Go on, please.
I foresee the Antichrist rising up, uniting the Arab states and third world nations, taking Russia by flattery and the Vatican becoming a great world humanitarian, and then bombing the hell out of Europe for enslaving the oil fields and banks of the Middle East. Shall the church die in the attempt, now having two enemies? I have always thought you were coming for a living church dedicated to the rebuilding of the planet with true sciences. What happened to transfiguration and the training by the hosts in our behalf?
How long, for instance, has Ron been around? How long have any of you been around? How long have I been here? Less than 7 years, at the very most for any of you. What do you expect? He said 200 years, I said 2 billion, and I haven't performed? Do you see what you're doing to yourselves? It's all right for you to eat yourself to weigh 900 pounds. Some people have eaten themselves to weigh 1,100 pounds. That's about tops, because after that, it's all downhill, man. Nobody can get you out of wherever you are stuck.
Nobody's spelled walls.
But at least, very good. You do understand that it takes a while to get to that point. Well, if you don't change anything except wait for God to shower intelligent knowledge on you and wake you up, you're not ever going to do it anyway. It took you that long, let us just say 200 years, and you are angry, frustrated, miserable, because we haven't done it for you. And we aren't ever going to do it for you. Now get that through your heads now. And if you don't like me, go whine to Isu Emmanuel. This is not my kingdom. And those problems take up with him. I have a mission. And you took a long time to get this deep in sleep. I'm trying as fast as I can to wake you up. But if you hide from the facts, you aren't ever going to wake up, and you may as well make your passage asleep and do it again, because I will guarantee you until you wake up, and make your own changes, which are within, and there isn't anything that you're going to do outside that's going to make a whit of difference. You're going to have to see, know, and make up your mind within an intent to do what you want to accomplish anyway. And until you do that, until you're willing to study and accept and then act, you're not going to make it, because I am not allowed, even if I were inclined, to do it for you. And I have no right whatsoever to go up to anyone and say, your purpose is. And I want to tell you something. As long as you are in doubt about what your purpose is, you're not going to believe me anyway. And it happens every day. It happens within this very little community. When things are perceived to not be going according to how I personally think they should go. And you lash out and you get teams up and you begin to tear down, break down. That's human nature. That's just human nature. And for me to march in the middle of that and say, well, but your purpose is, and you will turn around to me and say, you know, shove off, big boy. It ain't my purpose. So I'm not going to tell you. Go on, please.
Why do you spend the majority of the time in the journals discussing politics when we really seek the spiritual, for our weapons will be spiritual, not carnal?
And I'm going to show you this afternoon through Jordan Maxwell that what you think is spiritual has been a lie. And you never accept it from me, except this little handful in this room. And then part of you wouldn't. Because the minute earth things move in on you, physical, the physical things that terrify you and you must cling to, and security and all of this, it blows it. Blows it right out. So you've got to have it, and you've got to have the bad politics, and you've got to have the truth about your very spiritual lives up to right now. Point it out to you that it has always been the adversary. The adversary even usurped Jesus. So you born-again Jesus people are going to have the worst time this afternoon. Because his name as the Christ being was Esau Emmanuel. Saul of Tarsus, who never turned to God in truth. Hear me. The one who mostly wrote the Acts, the rules that you ones go by, named this entity Jesus, the Anointed One. And he did it in Greece. Well, but I love Jesus. I'm glad you do, because that is acceptance of a perfectly suitable label. It just does not happen to be the label that you're really searching for. You're looking for Christ. By any label. So you come up and you label him Jesus Christ. That'll cover it. And we will make this big Christian religion. And we'll have the Inquisition, and we will go on the Crusades, and boy, we're going to just take this world for Jesus Christ. From onset, you are taking the world and aiding and abetting Satan. Oh, now you're going to get nasty. Yep. Going to get nasty. You will find the head of the kingdom of the empire, which they want to tell you is the kingdom of God, is the crown head of England. British Israelis. Covenant. The covenant of man, head of the church of God, the kingdom, the empire. And most of the things you're going to find come right out of Freemasonry. It is there every time. And you see, Freemasonry was built out of what was already there as a foundation. And you're going to see this afternoon, and I want to make sure. I don't know how in the world we're going to get these tapes around, but it will become most clear, and I intend to comment as we go along so that possibly we can, by audio tape, get enough information out there that people can have access. I'm not in competition with Jordan Maxwell, man. I wish every citizen in the United States and the world could have the tape and sit down. And what's more, I want his next lectures on the churches.
Commander, I've attempted to contact Mr. Maxwell. I got a couple of phone numbers and addresses. And well, just for the people listening to the tape, as soon as we get any information about ordering tapes or anything else from Mr. Maxwell, we'll let you know through the paper or the next meeting. But right now, we don't have that information, but we'll try and get it.
Thank you. You've got to know what's going on, or you can't do anything. And you're going to have to find that you're going to have to do it, that the battle is for the souls of man. And if you just touch that little surface, it is like peeling off your skin. You're the same thing without the skin. And sometimes a slippage of that skin can kill you. And there will always be the enemy there to beat you down as you start waking up a little bit. Well, it's too sad, really, for me to linger on. You'll come to see that. But you're good old Paul. Saul of Tarsus was a best ally Jehovah, who was Lucifer, and locks you into a prison of human expression and desire with your little senses all hanging out there. Built a prison for you and then gave you a master to follow, a name. And am I saying that there is no good coming out of the churches? That is ridiculous. Of course there is, because goodness is in the hearts of man. And most men have not found what they're looking for in the churches, unless it is to just establish the righteousness of being seen there. Or I'm going to buy my way in to grace because some priest can give me absolution. That is bullshit. Nobody can give you absolution.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah, brother.
Commander?
Yes.
I think I just heard you say Jehovah, who is Lucifer.
Yes, well, that's right.
I don't think I had heard that before. Maybe I just missed it.
Well, you've got a lot of names. It's called the devil, Satan, Lucifer. You name it, they have already used it, so it is destroyed. Jehovah is the God of the Hebrews. There is God, and then there are all these gods, and no matter what tangible, godly, goodly name you put on anything, they come along and usurp it and change it or take it and use it until it no longer means what it did the day it was brought forth. So you've been fooled. Well, you've been fooled by the best. And you can continue to be fooled by the best, and you can go to your grave and make your transition. Do you understand me? God is not going to interfere with that. You will simply take up somewhere else doing the same thing at the same level of knowledge to learn more. Forget the whole BS about no reincarnation. You're going to do it until you get it right.
Can we turn the tape?
Yeah.